Diplo Chat is proudly supported by the City of Reno. Stay connected with your city by following the City of Reno on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. From the biggest little city in the world, this is Diplo Chat, where your global engagement begins with a chat. Presented by the Northern Nevada International Center, leading Nevada's global engagement. Hosting Diplo Chats, Manuel Mederos and Kevin Sung. Welcome to Diplo Chats, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Manuel Mederos, your language access specialist for the Northern Nevada International Center. And this is Diplo Chats. That's right, where your global engagement begins with a chat. I'm being joined as always, as every single month, because we do this every single month for now. We might expand it later on for every week or maybe every day, depending, right? But I have here on our little Diplo Chat studio, Mr. Kevin Sung. Hello, Kevin.
Hello, Manuel. Happy New Year again.
Happy New Year. That's right. You know, for me, every day, it's a new day, and it should be every month. Happy New Year, I guess. It's a good thing to keep in mind that we have this beautiful opportunity to be mindful about our life and how we can live our life.
Definitely. It's beginning of the new year, so we better be mindful about our future plans and all the new things coming up.
Why are you bringing up the word mindful so much?
Because we're going to today talk about mindfulness with
Dr. Yvonne Stedham. Oh my gosh, you're so good. You're getting so good at this transition. So I'm happy you mentioned that, because we do have Dr. Yvonne Stedham joining us. She will be touching and speaking about topics such as global mindfulness and leadership mindfulness.
Manuel, Dr. Yvonne Stedham sounds so familiar. Who is she?
You're so good. Anyway, Dr. Yvonne Stedham, which all of you should know by now, she actually does a segment on our Diplo Chats, a whole podcast called Mindfulness Moment. There you go. With Dr. Yvonne Stedham. So you all are familiar with her already. We wanted to bring her in to really talk to us and set our year, our new year, in the right path about being mindful. I won't go in detail about what she's going to talk about, but you will learn so much. So make sure you are listening. You walk your dog really fast. No, and actually, you can walk your dog and listen to our podcast. So drive safely. You can listen to us while you're driving, jogging, working, cooking, whatever. So I wanted to thank all of you for being here so, so much. But let's go into our little break here, and we will have Dr. Yvonne Stedham joining us. We will be right back with
Dr. Yvonne Stedham.
That's right. Thank you all so much for being here.
We all know that communication gives you a sense of community. However, what happens when the person you want to communicate with does not understand you because there's a language barrier? Awkward! Oh, excuse me. Well, now, you don't have to worry about a situation like that ever occurring, because the Language Bank at the Northern Nevada International Center provides in-person interpretation services, as well as on-demand over-the-phone interpretation services in 200-plus languages, 15-plus languages using our video remote technology, and also, we provide document translation services. Visit our website to learn more, unr.edu/languagebank. Our language services are always confidential, high quality, and accessible. You may submit a translation or interpretation request directly from our website. Visit us today, unr.edu/languagebank.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Diplo Chats. I'm so happy you all have joined us. And by the way, again, Happy New Year. It just feels good to get it out of my system, because it is a Happy New Year. And we wanted to actually set the New Year in a great tone. And by that I mean is that I have the perfect guest to kind of walk us through and allow us to have this beautiful path ahead of us that we're about to create for ourselves and begin that beautiful journey. Dr. Yvonne Stedham, why does that name sound familiar? Well, duh, you've been hearing Diplo Chats for a while. If you have, we have a segment called Mindfulness Moment, with Dr. Von Stanham. So if you're familiar with that, that's why that name sounds familiar. So please allow me to welcome Dr. Yvonne Stanham. And we have some, thank you, everyone here. Yes, it's a big studio, of course, yes. And I have obviously my co-host, Kevin. Hello, Kevin.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, Kevin. So Kevin, go ahead and ask Dr. Yvonne Stanham, and she's in our studio. Thank you for being here, by the way, Dr. Yvonne Stanham.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm excited to be here with both of you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. So Dr. Yvonne Stanham, please share with us a bit about you and your relationship with NNIC.
Yeah, about me, I have been a professor at the University of Nevada, Reno for 32 years and retired last July. I was a professor in the business school and department chair of the management department. I also was on the faculty for the social psychology PhD program, so supervised PhD students. Yes, and my primary area of research and teaching over those 32 years has been international business, where I look at cultural differences and how they are reflected in management and business practices, especially in ethical judgment. So trying to understand how culture impacts to what extent people perceive something as ethical or unethical. My relationship with NNIC goes back almost as long as my career at UNR, probably 22, 23 years. I met the director, Dr. Karina Black, when she first took over the International Center. And at that time, the International Center was connected with the Nevada World Trade Council, which was an international organization focused on businesses, which I served on their board. And so from a personal friendship with Karina, we then also developed a professional relationship where I was happy to support NNIC in any way I could over the years, as well as she was involved in New Track and supported that, which doesn't exist now anymore. And specifically, I taught for NNIC in the Mandela Fellowship Program. That has been probably over the last 10 years my primary involvement.
So you have a long history with NNIC.
Yes, I do.
And obviously a very deep friendship with our director, yes. Dr. Karina Black, right? Dr. Yes. Executive Director. So I wanted to ask you, so you are a professor of mindfulness. I want to invite people that are not familiar with the concept. There's so much information about it online, obviously.
Yeah.
And but you have done those segments with us. So go back to hear those segments that you have done with us. But in a brief way, what is mindfulness?
Yeah, also just a quick correction, Manuel. I wouldn't call myself a professor of mindfulness. I went through the training to become a mindfulness instructor at the Center for Mindfulness based on the work by Jon Kabat-Zinn, which is the primary name associated with mindfulness in the Western world. What is mindfulness? Mindfulness, in the most simple way, is an attention-focusing practice. As we all know, our mind goes 100 miles an hour at least, and we actually know that we have about 85,000 thoughts an hour. And it's very difficult to get our mind to focus on a particular activity, thought, task. And so when we practice mindfulness, we use different methods, such as meditation, to impact our brain. Because of neuroplasticity, we know that through the regular practice of meditation and other mindfulness practices, we have an impact on our brain that strengthens our ability to pay attention. In a nutshell, that is what mindfulness is. In an academic definition, if you will, it's moment to moment, non-judgmental awareness.
And the reason I brought up professor, just because anybody that teaches me or knows more than me, it's a professor. Anyway, go ahead, Kevin.
Okay, thank you. You teach me too.
Oh, okay, thank you.
So mindfulness is quite new concept, especially for those who are from abroad. So for myself, I have been aware of this concept of mindfulness, but never learned the definition in an academic or professional way. Mm-hmm. So especially you have been working with a lot of international visitors and you have been meeting with a lot of people from abroad. How would you explain this mindfulness in a global setting?
Okay. That's a very important question, Kevin. I would begin by saying that, of course, mindfulness, how we practice it, is rooted in Buddhism. And however, it's a secularized version, and it is only one principle from that particular contemplative practice. All religions are contemplative practices, and all religions, which Buddhism, many people don't consider that a religion, but all religions have some form of meditative practice, yeah? Even prayer or sitting still. You might have seen old monasteries in Europe where you have a special walk for monks to just walk in contemplation. And contemplation, focus, being calm. So it's not really an unforeign practice. The word mindfulness, I think, is what makes it different for people, that they think it's something completely new and novel, but it's not. It's the most ancient thing that humans have done. It's just now offered in a more organized
way. As a follow-up question, Dr. Yvonne, basically, do many countries across the world, do they have a understanding of what the practice of mindfulness is essentially? And an additional question attached to that is, if they don't, how do countries around the world approach mindfulness in their own unique way?
Yeah. So and in the context with that, when I brought up mindfulness in the programs I teach for NNIC, I do it in a very careful way, not just talking about now we meditate, but I talk about it as being a practice that helps you pay attention. Yeah. And most people are very receptive to that. So, in different countries, people may have a different name for it because of the religious connection, perhaps. But most people are very open to it. I want to say that. And now I'm making a very important point about the spread of mindfulness around the globe, which is right now we see such a growth in practices and the number of teachers and programs that in the Western world. So we are talking Western Europe, not even that much in Eastern Europe, Western Europe, North America, some Latin American countries. Brazil, for example, is very, very receptive to mindfulness. And then that begs the question, why is that? And we can come up with many different reasons, but I contemplated that question. And I think the main reason is that it got such traction in the United States because of the research that was done on the impact of mindfulness on mental and physical well-being. And the benefits are unequivocal. They are there. And so the healthcare industry, doctors, psychologists, started including mindfulness in their treatment protocols. All right. Now let's look at other countries. Let's look at less developed countries in Africa or Asia or Eastern Europe. There is the research is not at the point where it's receptive to the results and including the results of mindfulness in treatment protocols. So that is kind of where I am at. And you can also say, well, people in less developed countries just don't have the luxury to be mindful. I yes, perhaps, but that's not necessarily true. If there is an awareness of the benefits, especially on the micro level, it makes me have a better life. Any place, anywhere, any person would be interested, I think.
Well, also one follow-up is the fact that you mentioned religion as one gateway to mindfulness mm-hmm. for many people. And in many countries across the world, there's a lot of ways for people that come perhaps to that conclusion and that part mm-hmm. of mindfulness, whether they realize it or yeah. not, correct?
Absolutely.
Right? Whether yeah. it's, and a lot of times when we go traveling, it's very evident the reason we go traveling is to obviously get away from the stressors and everything like that. But we feel that in that specific country, whatever country that is, there's so many beautiful ones across the world that allows us to get to that point of being mindful, of yeah. being in a place where you feel just unique, accepted, and wonderful.
Being not distracted, mm-hmm. Pulled into a thousand directions. Yeah, I in that context, I had students. I've taught mindful leadership for many years and the MBA program, and I've brought mindfulness programs to many businesses. And primarily right now I teach mindfulness in the judiciary. So I teach a retreat for judges every year, and we have about 50 judges who struggle. They have a very difficult job. They have trauma they experience secondarily, through that, and they come for relief. But what I wanted to mention is that over the years, I've had students who would question, I'm a very religious person. Does mindfulness interfere with my religious practices? And I have to say from my own experience that in fact it supports your religious practices because you're calm and focused, yeah? And so usually then people move forward and try it out and love it, yeah.
That actually brought me one very curious point on the work from you with NNIC. So previously, you have participated with some of our international exchange programs for many, many years now. What was the reaction of our international visitors mm-hmm. from your lectures? Or have they been receptive to the concept of mindfulness?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And it varies where people are from, of course. I had once in a while, because in my mindful leadership segment, I do a meditation practice in class. And initially people look around and they're not, used to that being a culturally accepted way of being, that you are in a space together, perhaps with your eyes closed and just quiet. And it takes them a moment to feel even okay about that. And then I guide them through the meditation. And at the end of it, I would say probably 95% of the participants loved it and said, I have not been this calm. And sometimes only 3 to 5 minutes, but just that short moment of permission to be still makes a difference. And oftentimes I have some of the participants come and say, how can I learn more about mindfulness? Are there any programs? The flagship program that I've also been trained in is called Mindfulness-Based Stress Reduction. So if any of the listeners are interested in looking into a program in their community, looking just for MBSR, mindfulness-based stress reduction, in most parts of the world, truly, you can find a teacher. So in my training, I had teachers from Japan. I had people who were there from all over the world in my training with me when I became a teacher. So there are programs there.
If you have just joined us, you are listening to a great conversation, a deep, mindful conversation with Dr. Yvonne Stedham. Let's take a quick break. We're actually about to go right into your mindfulness moment that I've been talking about. So this might be a great opportunity for people that have not listened to this segment, Mindfulness Moment with Dr. Yvonne Stedham. I think it's appropriate right now. And in this one, particularly, you're going to be talking about gratitude. So let's go to that segment right now. And now, Mindfulness Moment with Dr. Yvonne Stedham on DiploChats.
It's a new year, and many of us are excited about that. Why? Why is that? After all, time is pretty much an artificial concept created by us humans. I think many of us are excited because starting a new year gives us the sense that we can start fresh, that we have permission to let go of the past, to let go of what has already happened, which, in general, is not easy for human beings. We tend to ruminate about the past. We are unable to let things be as they are. In mindfulness, we cultivate moment-to-moment non-judgmental awareness. So being present, not clinging to the past or worrying about the future. Reflecting on the gifts that we have received and on what we are grateful for can be very supportive to letting be. Gratitude for the small and the big things in our lives helps us to see clearly and anchors us in the present. Simple things that we are grateful for, such as that we can turn on light when it gets dark, heat when it gets cold, the morning sun, a smile by a stranger, someone giving their time freely, someone really listening to you. And then the big things, the people we have in our life who truly care about us, that we have enough money to live pretty comfortably, that we have been educated and have a sense of our own competence and a sense of belonging. Gratitude connects us to the present, connects us to other people. I encourage you to start a gratitude journal, just writing down a couple of things a day that you appreciate in your life and that you are grateful for. This is Dr. Yvonne. Have a mindful day. Hi, this is Dr. Yvonne Stedham. You are listening to Diplo Chats. Tune in to next month's Mindfulness Moment segment on the simplicity of life. Make sure to download Diplo Chats wherever you get your podcasts. Have a mindful day.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back with Diplo Chats. Thank you so much. Now, you listened to the segment we were talking about with Dr. Yvonne Stedham, Mindfulness Moment, but we have the star of that segment here with us today. Dr. Yvonne Stedham, thank you again so much for joining us on Diplo Chats.
It's wonderful. I so much love participating. Anything NNIC does.
Well, good, good, good. And I know that you have had a great relationship with the Northern Nevada International Center for many, many years. Now, in the previous segment, you were referring to a mindfulness leadership course, if you want to call it, or session that you have taught with judges. But also, you know, with the language bank, interpreters, whether it's medical interpreters, court interpreters, or community interpreters in general, they have a lot of stress. They deal with a lot of trauma. You mentioned trauma. Many of our court interpreters hear things. And all that has to, obviously, according to their ethics, has to remain confidential. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times they're not able to express their feeling and their trauma or what they hear because it's confidential. And when you're in a position like that, of confidentiality. I know there's many ways to communicate with your partner, your family, your support group around you about what's going on so that you can allow yourself to release that stress. How does, if it does, how does mindfulness, could it play a role in allowing people to just, you know, understand mm-hmm. what's going on, whether they listen to something traumatic or something that, so that they can begin to release that anxiety and stress? Does mm-hmm. mindfulness play a role? Could it play a role?
Absolutely. I just want to emphasize the level of secondary trauma that interpreters experience. And I also know that, like I mentioned, from the judges. And for interpreters, it's even a heightened level, because as you are speaking in the I format. You are translating what the person is saying. I experienced that. And so the trauma associated with that is very, very important to understand. Now, mindfulness allows us to gain distance from our emotional experiences, if you will. When we are not mindful, we are in a state where we simply react to stimuli around us. That's how our brain is hardwired. Stimulus, you have a perception of a threat or something scary, and your sympathetic nervous system is activated, which means you go in a fight or flight mode. When you are mindful, you are able to simply look at what's happening. So in the interpreter's case, I can say, wow, I'm really stressed about that. Let me step away from that and decide how I best respond rather than react. And the responding can be something like, I'm taking a break, I'm going for a walk, I'm sitting down for 10 minutes and focus on my breath. So I gain distance and I can see more clearly what's happening. And that in turn then allows you to see that what you were translating didn't happen to you. It happened, but you are not affected personally by it. However, and I wanted to make that point somewhere in our interview, it also creates a moment where you realize the level of humanity we are all connected with. The story that you are translating is this person's story, but you probably have your own story. And everybody in the room you're with has their own story. Humanity means we are experiencing very difficult things and we suffer. And we experience very happy things. And we all are the same in that. And when we are not recognizing that, we start being afraid of differences. And we only want to be with what we know. We attach to what we know, which then divides people rather than brings them together. So in a nutshell, long answer to your question, Manuel, but the benefits of mindfulness are on the micro level, which is the quality of my life is better because I can step away. And on the macro level, that we recognize the connection to humanity in general, and that we don't have to be afraid because we are all having similar experiences.
And all these interpreters are just givers, right? Mm-hmm. Because they're giving not only to the community, but they're connecting communication between two parties, three parties, whatever that might be. And mm-hmm. there's a lot going on. So it's definitely a busy, busy mind that is really occupied.
Yeah. I hope we've talked about doing a program.
Yes.
And I'm excited about doing that.
Yeah. So let's not spill the beans yet. But yes, we're definitely going to do that for sure. Kevin?
One another biggest part of NNIC is running citizen diplomacy programs. Mm-hmm. Personally, I'm from the exchange team. So I'd like to ask if you can provide some tips for mindfulness for the diplomat or people working in diplomatic field.
Yeah. I think I've not personally worked with diplomats, But I would imagine that a critical aspect of being effective in that role is that you are very open, receptive, and not having preconceived ideas of how a diplomatic interaction is supposed to go. I think what is most important is that there's some kind of, I don't want to call it compromise, but that everybody at the end is on the same page and in agreement. And I think being mindful is supportive of that because you can notice in yourself with your body sensations and noticing when your sympathetic nervous system gets activated, when you might go into, no, I don't want this conversation to go this way. I wanted this outcome. I want this to happen. And when you notice, just before you even speak, you can go, okay, I have to take a quick breath and be okay with seeing what unfolds by itself without forcing it. So that would be just off the top of my head how that could be supportive for a diplomat. But in the whole arena of diplomacy, I think people being trained in mindfulness would be so helpful.
Well, just the whole process, because a lot of diplomats or in the world of diplomacy, you're dealing with a lot of international stressors, and you're really representing essentially different populations, different political views, and all that really embodies and takes over your whole body, which allows you to go into this flight or fight mode, right? Mm-hmm. Many, many times. But if many diplomats, I think, or in the diplomatic world, practice mindfulness, I think they're able to come in with a very clear mind and open mind.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's kind of a, would be a cool audience for a mindfulness teacher, because I think when you become a diplomat, you're already working in that direction to be open. And mindfulness would help you to do that. Yeah. And yes, of course, Manuel, there is, when, as a diplomat, you are in a line of work where having differences is the main thing that you are trying to overcome to help people to, despite their differences, be together, right?
Right.
And in a way, that's what mindfulness is all about, you know? To understand that we are all the same.
Well, and I love the macro sort of component that you mentioned early on in terms of the part of humanity.
Yeah.
And many of our diplomats and in diplomacy, you're really representing your population. You're representing giving justice to the voice of those who are not heard or otherwise.
Right.
So you're really representing that humanity part, and you have to be human.
Yeah, absolutely. In a practical sense, I'm just thinking one of the upcoming segments in the Mindfulness Moment program is on mindful speaking and mindful listening. Mm-hmm. And I give very specific advice on how you can become a mindful listener and a mindful speaker. And you just talked about communication, that there's a tangible example of how mindfulness can support diplomats.
Right. Well, I did want to talk about your segment that you do with us, and which we heard during this show. But I did want to touch on a few things. The whole entire concept of being still. We live in a very busy, busy world. Wherever you are, no matter what part of the planet you're mm-hmm. located in, you're busy. Whether it's working hard to provide to your family or live in a technological world, how we do here in the Western Hemisphere. How important is it for us to take that moment during the day or few moments during the day to be still?
It is critical for, you know, very specific things like performance, but for your mental well-being as well. Why are we so busy? Partially that's cultural, that there's competition. And in order to be successful, we feel we have to constantly develop ourselves, no more than the next person. On the other hand, there's also a, if you will, a physiological component to how humans are. And we are very fearful, and we are fearful especially of uncertainty. And we experienced that during the pandemic, that when we didn't know how to do things, all of a sudden, as professors had to teach on Zoom, I was lucky that I had some experience, but I had colleagues who had no experience. So that's very stressful, uncertainty surrounded in our surrounding our life. So in order to deal with uncertainty, we can recognize that we don't have much control really for about what happens. But if we are not mindful, we think the more busy we are, the more we make plans, the more we do this, we do that, we can control what happens. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you that's an illusion. We can a little bit. When we need light, we have a light switch. When it's cold, we live in a very comfortable Western world, we can turn on the heat. But on the big scale of things, we don't have that much control, which again, the pandemic taught us. So I think that's why people are so, so busy. Now, yes, when we sit down and we are still, we recognize exactly that. We recognize that we are busy, busy because our mind is hardwired to scan the environment for threats and for like our 3-pound brain. Its only job is to keep us alive, to keep us physically alive, right? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, to be alive, we have to be connected with people. Right. And when we are busy, 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 wow. We get less and less connected. And technology, I don't want to even go into that, but that is another way of we have the illusion of being connected.
Right.
But you're not truly connected to a human. Even worse, you know, we hear all the negative things about Facebook and teenagers and mm-hmm. how much harm it does to them. Rather than supports.
What's interesting, we talked about technology, but there's many apps, and I was going to go into that really quickly. Okay. There's many apps out there for mindfulness that people can download. What are other ways for people to seek, you know, understanding of mindfulness?
Yeah.
How can people access that information? And you can tell everyone and share with everyone your website.
Yeah, my website, very simple, YvonneStedham.com. There's lots and lots of information. Please check it out and contact me if you have any questions. I'm not looking for work or business. I'm just created the website more as a resource for people. But the apps, the mindfulness apps, Insight Timer is probably the most well-known one. There's Calm, there's Headspace. Some of them are free, and some of them you have to pay some amount of money. And so many of them are good, fine. They offer guided meditations of different kinds. However, and Manuel and I talked about that before, without having any kind of training by a trained instructor, you will not get the benefits of a true mindfulness program that you would if you were taking a mindfulness-based stress reduction program, for example.
Okay, that's good to know. Good. So there's other resources. We'll actually have some of your website on our description. Really fast, the last, very last question is in regards to the segments that you do here. What really, in a quick way, what was the vision or intention of doing those segments with Diplo Chats here?
Yeah, it's a wonderful opportunity to introduce the listeners who choose to listen to Diplo Chats, which I know is across the world and are people who are interested in international and global issues. And I wanted to contribute to helping people to see the benefits of mindfulness. And the segments I offer all have a very practical component. It's not the theory that I would talk about in a class necessarily, how mindfulness works and how it affects your brain. But here's what you can do. For example, you mentioned gratitude, and that was just on that. I encourage people to write a gratitude journal, which sounds daunting, but what it is, every day you write down two things that you're grateful for. Mm. And by doing that, that brings you back in the current moment, in the presence, and you don't get carried away worrying about uncertainty or worrying about mistakes you may have done in the past, but simply be bringing to mind what you have and what you are grateful for right now is bringing you back and giving you some ease and peace. And so the intention was to provide an introduction to mindfulness as well as some practical advice and ideas of how people can introduce it in their own life.
Well, and that's how we end this conversation with you, Dr. Van Stenham. Thank you so much for being here. We passed our little 30-minute mark that we like to keep our Diplo Chats podcast at. But I think this was a very important topic to talk about, a theme to really get us started in this year of 2022 so that people begin with that openness and gratitude and just, you know, there's so much going on. And I think it's important for us to be just grounded. And we thank you for being here today on Diplo Chats. It was very valuable.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Perfect. We'll be right back with actually our Diplo Wrap after this message from our supporter, the City of Reno.
The City of Reno's mission is to create a community that all people are proud to call home and is honored to sponsor Diplo Chats as part of their many initiatives to be an inclusive and welcoming city to all. This is our Reno.
Nuestro Reno.
Ito ang ating Reno.
Urie Reno입니다.
Kore wa watashi tachi no Reno.
C'est notre Reno.
Stay connected with the City of Reno on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, or visit reno.gov.
We're back! I have to hit those notes. We are back to Diplo Chats. Okay, here we go. Here's my singing little talent going in, okay? Anyway, welcome back, everyone, to Diplo Chats. We're back on our Diplo Wrap. Thank you all so much for joining us. Please, we need to tell people how they can actually connect with the Northern Nevada International. Can you tell everyone?
Yes,
Kevin?
Please go to the Facebook and search Northern Nevada International Center, or search NNIC Reno in Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn. And also, you can go to unr.edu/NNIC.
That's right. Good. That's a way for you to connect with us and Diplo Chats at nnic.org. Diplo Chats with a Z as in zebra at nnic.org. That's a way for you to connect with us and answer. Sometimes we have the questions of the month. Make sure you check the description of our podcast and the episode, and we will have engaging question that we want all of you to participate in. So I think we have come to the end. We had a great conversation with Dr. Van Stenham on
mindfulness.
That's right. Mindfulness. And I hope all of you learned about mindfulness in a very, very specific. I mean, we could have gone on with Dr. Van Stenham. She's extremely knowledgeable in many fields in regards to obviously mindfulness. And it's not a new thing, according to what she told us. It's been around for so many years and probably centuries.
Exactly. Personally, I've been aware, as I mentioned in the show, I was aware about the mindfulness, but I didn't know exactly what that means. But today, it was a really meaningful time to learn more about mindfulness.
And you feel empowered.
Empowered.
You know that, and you know, I wanted to mention just really fast before we go out for another month and we'll come back, obviously. But I wanted to sort of mention the fact that one of the biggest reasons why we do Diplo Chats, it's to actually promote the impact of the Northern Nevada International Center. But we want also to educate, empower people globally and learn about the work that we do, because everything sort of is connected. It seems like we are all connected, right?
Exactly. So don't forget to stay tuned with us. Please subscribe, download, and listen to Diplo Chat episode, because your global engagement begins with a
chat. Of course. Thank you all so much for joining us for episode number 6, numero 6. And we want to invite people that have not tuned in or followed us to please continue to do that. Download our podcast. We are by now, actually, we got accepted by Pandora. So we are on Pandora, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, and all the podcast providers now. So thank you so much, and look us up and join the huge conversation globally that we have every single month here at the Northern Nevada International Center's Diplo Chats. Your global engagement begins with a chat. Thank you so much, Mr. Kevin, and thank you all. We'll be back next month with more Diplo Chats.